Dear Father in heaven, we want you by our side right now. We want your Holy Spirit to be among us. We pray that you give me the words to speak, that they may be your words, not mine, and that the hearers may be able to apply it to their lives and take it to heart. Please be with us this morning during this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd just like to ask Naomi if she can hand out some pieces of paper. This will just give you something that you can take home and look at the verses yourself. And it'll also give an outline of what we will be going through today. So today the sermon is on the theme of salvation and witnessing. I believe that the two go hand in hand. To be able to witness to others, to be able to share the word of God, you need to experience salvation yourselves. Just like with the song we sang about the woman at the well, she was there to get water, physical water, but she found water from the fountain of life. So to be able to share this to others, we need to be drawing from that same well, from the same fountain, the fountain of life, which is our Lord. So to do with witnessing, Jesus is our example in all things. So some people like to look at evangelists and see how they win souls and certain individuals, but our example is Jesus. So I'd like to explore with you today how Jesus witnessed to a certain individual and look at the principles that he used. So when we look at Jesus' ministry in this world, on this earth, he didn't see much success. Much of the success came later on during the Pentecost when he had ascended to heaven. A lot of the people, he came up with a lot of opposition with the Pharisees, with the church of the day. And a lot of people did not understand the simple truths. But there's a few cases where a few individuals gave him a lot of encouragement. Some that I thought of was the Roman centurion. Jesus said of him that he had not found such great faith in Israel, all of Israel. And it wasn't even a Jewish, it was a Roman centurion. There's also Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was another, but he found it hard to understand about the new birth. He was afraid of being seen. So today I'd like to dwell on Jesus' interaction with the woman at the well. He was tired after a long journey all morning. He hadn't eaten. He was thirsty, probably tired. But he was so encouraged by her reception to his conversation with her that he wasn't even hungry afterwards when the disciples came and brought food. Interestingly, we don't know about her name. We just know her as the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. For us, she can symbolize the strangers we meet in the street, people who are searching for God, seeking for something, but they don't even know it. So I'd like to go through this story with you, this amazing story. Turn with me to John chapter 4, and you can keep your bookmark or keep your finger there, because we'll be mainly going through this chapter. So first of all, we'll be going through how Jesus witnessed to her, and then afterwards we'll have a look to see how she followed the steps of conversion as she was prompted by Jesus and led by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4. So this can be an example for us. We can learn some principles from this interaction that Jesus had. Now, all people are different, and the Holy Spirit will enlighten us when we meet people, how to reach them, what to say, what to do. But Jesus was able to open up truths to her that he couldn't reveal to other people, to the Jews, because she was receptive, she was open. So I'll start reading from verse 1. When therefore, so John chapter 4 verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So they'd been travelling all morning. The sixth hour was about noonday, middle of the day. So the disciples went off and went to get some food in the village close by. And Jesus was resting at the well. But he had no way, he didn't have a rope or a water jar to get water from the well. So he was waiting there. Now, it's interesting because Jesus was looking for opportunities to witness at any stage. Even though he would have been very thirsty, tired and hungry, he witnessed to her. Often myself, when I'm thirsty, tired and hungry, my natural inclination is to find food, find water. It's not to witness to people. But we do get opportunities and we have to make sure we don't miss out on those. Reading from verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. He asked her a favour. He asked her to give him some water. Now, often when we witness to people, I've noticed we like to present them with something. We like to give them something. It might be to give them some free tracts, literature. It might be to give them a cooking demonstration. But in this case, he asked for something. He didn't give her anything. So in the Branksome where I've grown up, where we live, we've noticed that with our neighbours, we've borrowed machinery from them, and we found that just asking them for favours from them has been able to open up doors and break barriers. And they were more receptive to become friends with us, and we were able to share about Jesus. Especially my mum was able to help them in that way. In the Desire of Ages chapter 19, which is a chapter that is based on this story in John chapter 4, page 184, it says, the Saviour was seeking to find the keys to this heart, and with the tact born of divine love, he asked, not offered, a favour. The offer of a kindness might have been rejected, but trust awakens trust. So this is one of the first principles I found in this chapter. Sometimes we have to ask for favours. We have to become friends with people, gain their trust, become friends with them. It can be offering assistance. It can be just our example, our Christian example, as we live in the community. Reading verse 8 and 9. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. If we just skim down to verse 27, it reads, and upon this came his disciples, and marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Jesus did not have he did not follow the customs of the day. The social customs for the Jews was to ignore and to avoid the Samaritans. The Jews hated the Samaritans, and they considered them as Gentiles because they had intermingled with the heathen nations around them, and they worshipped other idols as well. So Jesus went right through this barrier, and the disciples were amazed, because in those days, it was their custom, their tradition, to avoid them as much as possible. And also, she was a woman. In those days, the men would not talk to a woman. It was not the custom. So we can see here that Jesus is no respecter of persons. He wants to reach everyone. It doesn't matter if they're educated, uneducated, rich or poor, male or female, whatever race and tribe they're from. So from this we can know we need to reach all the people. We might be going to someone's door and we say, oh, it's like a mansion or something. We might feel inadequate or whatever, but God is with us. And they are human beings that need to know about Jesus. Reading from Desire of Ages, page 193. He mingled freely with the Samaritans, setting at naught the Pharisaic customs of his nation. In face of their prejudices, he accepted the hospitality of this despised people. He slept under their roofs, ate with them at their tables, partaking of the food prepared and served by their hands, taught in their streets, and treated them with the utmost kindness and courtesy. This was an important lesson for his disciples, because after Jesus went to heaven, they had to reach the Gentiles, and a lot of them had this inbuilt hatred and division between the Jews and the other nations. And they needed to be reached, so later on they were able to minister to the Gentiles, and they remembered how Jesus treated them. Reading on from verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. With this, Jesus was arousing her interest. Reading in from Desire of Ages as well, page 187. The woman had not comprehended the words of Christ, but she felt their solemn import. Her light, bantering manner began to change. As Jesus spoke of the living water, the woman looked upon him with wondering attention. He had aroused her interest and awakened a desire for the gift of which he spoke. She perceived that it was not the water of Jacob's well to which he referred, for of this she used continually, drinking and thirsting again. Sir, she said, give me this water that I thirst not, and neither come hither to draw. If you keep your finger or bookmark there, we can go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13. It reads, For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So Jesus was arousing her interest to something that the world cannot give, something that's very rare in this world, in that people don't know about it. Let's go over a few chapters in Jeremiah to Jeremiah 17. verse 13. So here we see what the living waters is, the fountain of living waters. Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So we know who the fountain of living waters is, and that's what Jesus was presenting to her. So when we meet with people, we have to find ways that we can make them interested in what they do not have. Reading on, so let's go back to John chapter 4, verses 16. Hope you had your fingers there. So, yeah. It reads, Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Jesus here is pointing, making her feel her need of Jesus, to show that she's a sinful person. So Jesus abruptly turned the conversation. Before this soul could receive the gift he longed to bestow, she must be brought to recognize her sin and her Saviour. This is not really our job to do. Jesus knows the heart. He's the one who knows what she needed. And what our job is to point people to Jesus, and Jesus will convict them of their sin and their need of him. As we read through the Bible and we see his character, the Holy Spirit will inspire them as well and convince them of their need of him. Reading, continuing from verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So she felt guilty. She felt she was trying to change the conversation to something, to a matter of controversy. So Jesus was taking her away from this debatable issue that is not salvational to true worship. And often when we witness with people, sometimes they like to bring up matters of controversy that are not important. So we have to, by the Holy Spirit, point them to Jesus, point them to what's important. In Desire of Ages it says, He desired to lift the thoughts of his hearer above matters of form and ceremony and questions of controversy. Reading on from verse 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So here Jesus is warning her of false worship. That's part of our message to the world, part of the three angels' messages, is to warn people of the false worship, false religion. And she was a Samaritan, and they had a false religion. It was closely aligned with the Jewish religion, that they believed that the Messiah was going to come, but the way they worshipped was false. And Jesus wasn't scared of what she thought. He was pointing out that what true worship was. If we look back at verses 18, Jesus pointed out to her that she had five husbands, and he wasn't scared of what she thought. Also verse 22, Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So he didn't beat around the bush. He was telling her the truth, no matter what she would have thought. So, while referring to the fact that the faith of the Samaritans was corrupted with idolatry, he declared that the great truths of redemption had been committed to the Jews, and that from among them the Messiah was to appear. In the sacred writings, they had a clear presentation of the character of God and the principles of his government. Jesus classed himself with the Jews as those to whom God had given a knowledge of himself. When I've had conversations with my friends at uni, some of them are Buddhists, some of them are atheists, a lot of them like to point out that there's many ways to heaven, but there's only one way, and we've got to emphasize that there's only one way, that's through Jesus. I'll keep reading from verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So in this verse, he's pointing her to her Saviour. He was her Saviour. When we witness with people, we are to point them to Jesus, their Saviour. In verse 27, and upon this came his disciples, and marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So from this passage, from this conversation that Jesus had with this woman, we can also see that he didn't rush. He didn't push her. He answered her questions when she posed them, and he made witnessing the first priority. He also let the Holy Spirit work on her heart. Patiently, this is from Desire of Ages, page 188. Patiently, Jesus permitted her to lead the conversation whither she would. Meanwhile, he watched for the opportunity of again bringing the truth home to her heart. Often when we're talking with people, we have to look for opportunities to present them truth, gems of truth. We have to be tactful. As someone was saying this morning, we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Also, he spoke no word of denunciation. Nothing that had hitherto come in contact with her had so awakened her to a higher need. Jesus had convinced her that he read the secrets of her life, yet she felt that he was her friend, pitying and loving her. While the very purity of his presence condemned her sin, he had spoken no word of denunciation, but had told her of his grace that could renew the soul. It's from Conflict and Courage, page 294. Jesus knew what she was ready to hear. Some people cannot receive all the truth in one go. We need to win their hearts through friendship and through our example. Not all those that we come in contact with will show so much interest in the truth, but we must not be discouraged. When we talk with people, we have to talk that we believe it, that we've experienced it. We have to show excitement. He who seeks to quench his thirst at the fountain of this world will drink only to thirst again. Everywhere, men are unsatisfied. They long for something to supply the need of the soul. Only one can meet that want. The need of the world, the desire of all nations, is Christ. The divine grace which He alone can impart is as living water, purifying, refreshing, and invigorating the soul. How many thirsting souls are today close by the living fountain, yet looking far away for the wellsprings of life? Many of them just don't know. We have to decide ourselves that we will stop looking for pleasure and things that fade away, for water that does not quench our thirst, but to draw daily from the fountain which is Christ our Saviour. Many times myself I have missed opportunities to witness to people because I wasn't abiding in Christ, I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes during my travels I found that the Holy Spirit was prompting me to go talk to this person, and I kept debating within myself. Like, I didn't really want to talk to that person. But in the end, I finally talked to that person, and I found that it was a great opportunity to talk to them about Jesus, and they needed to know about it at that time. So we need to be daily drawing out water from the living fountain. Then we won't be able to ignore those that are perishing for the want of it. Those that are searching for something, they don't know where to find it. If you were in the desert and you knew where a well was, and you see caravans, people, you know, going past, and they don't even see it because they're in another dune, perhaps, would you not tell them that there's a well there when they're miles and miles away from water? At risk of dying. And that's what's happening with the world, people at risk of perishing. So let's purpose in our hearts to direct them to the true source of happiness and end their search today. But before we do that, we need to be abiding in Christ. We need to be converted before we share Jesus to others. So in the other part, on your piece of paper, there's on one side it says steps of conversion. We've got God's part on one side, our part on the other side. In salvation, we have to cooperate with God. So in the first step, He draws us to Himself. In John 12:32, He says, I am lifted up to draw all men unto Me. Our part is to not resist. It's as simple as that. Second part, He will convict us. He will convict us of our sin, of our need, of our guilt. And our part is to acknowledge your guilt and need of His righteousness. With the woman at the well, if you look at verses 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And then you skip over to verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith, and she went to talk to the men. So there, straight away, she was convinced, we can see, that she was convinced that He was the Messiah. She acted on it straight away. She put it into action. Our part is to acknowledge our guilt and need of His righteousness. If you look next to the writing there, there's numbers. And on the bottom of the page, there's Bible references to support each step that you might like to look at in your own time. God's part, He will give repentance. This is the true repentance. If you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Talking about true repentance, a turning away from the old ways. It reads, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So we need to seek God and turn away from our wicked ways. God gives that true repentance to us. He has promised that He will. Our part is to confess and forsake your sins and give him your heart. In 1 John 1 verse 9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the, well, if you look on the other side, his part, he will forgive and cleanse, regenerate and free you to live the sanctified life. Our part is to believe and accept. He will live in you and empower you. He's promised in the Bible, there's many verses in the Bible that promises that he will do that. We are to live by faith and bear much fruit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And how do we do that? By abiding. Please turn with me to John chapter 15. In this passage, Jesus is talking about the connection we are to have, our humanity with his divinity. Together, we can overcome. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. But with God all things are possible. He has also promised that he will make a way of escape when we are tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a wonderful promise. We should memorize these verses. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This is a promise from God. Often we do not have enough faith. We need to believe that he will do this. 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's right. Our part is to take God's way of escape. When sin tempts us, we have to remember God is more powerful and he will give us the power. We can send a prayer to God, quick prayer, and he will send his angels to protect us. We are also to submit to him. We need to have a change of character. A change of heart. It's a new creation. It's a miracle. In Ezekiel 36:26, it talks about how God will take away the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. It's a drastic change. And it's only through that that we can overcome. Because we do not want to submit to him. But when we take his... take the heart of flesh and accept him and surrender all to him, he will help us and give us the power. We have the promise in 1 John 2 verse 1 that he will be our advocate if we fall. Satan wants us to get discouraged when we fall. But Jesus is there. He's knocking on the door of the heart. All we have to do is let him in. Often we have things piled up in front of that door. But we have to do away with that. Ask him to take it away. And also our part is to repent and turn back to him. So with the woman, the Samaritan woman, we can see that she was being led by the Holy Spirit. She listened to what Jesus had to say. She was receptive to the Holy Spirit. In John 4 verse 15, we can see that she was interested. She said, give this to me, I want it. In Desire of Ages chapter 19. It says, "This woman was in an appreciative state of mind. She was ready to receive the noblest revelation, for she was interested in the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit had been preparing her mind to receive more light." We do not know all of her story. We only know part of it. But we know that Jesus was there for another 2 days, and she would have learned a lot more about following him. What is amazing is that as soon as she knew about the Messiah, she didn't know much, but she went to tell her fellow men. She went to the village and told them about Jesus, and they came and listened. It says in Desire of Ages, chapter 99. Let's look here. "As soon as she had found the Saviour, the Samaritan woman brought others to him. She proved herself a more effective missionary than his own disciples." Isn't it amazing? "The disciples saw nothing in Samaria to indicate that it was an encouraging field. Their thoughts were fixed upon a great work to be done in the future. They did not see that right around them was a harvest to be gathered. But through the woman whom they despised, a whole city full were brought to hear the Saviour. She carried the light at once to her countrymen." Sometimes we may look around and we might decide that this person is worthy to receive salvation. We might think, oh, they will be receptive, but that one won't. But we're not supposed to think like that. To reach all of them. This woman represents the working of a practical faith in Christ. Every true disciple is born into the kingdom of God as a missionary. He who drinks of the living water becomes a fountain of life. The receiver becomes a giver. The grace of Christ in the soul is like a spring in the desert, welling up to refresh all and making those who are ready to perish eager to drink of the water of life. So we can see from this story that there's a fountain of life, of living water, and we know about it. Hopefully we've experienced it and we've drunk from it. First of all, we have to have our hearts right with God, to abide in him day by day. When we have this, we can reach to others. Otherwise, we are sharing something that we do not have. God can still use us. He's used heathen people, people who do not believe in God, for his work. But it's only when we are truly following Christ that we can share him. So I'd like to, as we start this new year, I'd like to encourage you to make a firm decision to follow Christ no matter what this year and in the future, and to share him and share what he's done for you. Dear Father in heaven, we want to draw from this fountain of living water every moment of our lives. Mm-hmm. We want to be refreshed, invigorated through its life-giving water. We want to experience the power of the gospel that you freely give to us. Mm-hmm. From this day on, may we firmly resolve here to dedicate our lives to you, to give all of ourselves to you, and that we may work for you in bringing others to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.